So what we'll do now is look at the first of the Four Noble Truths in a little bit more detail, that is the truth of suffering or dukkha.
Ahora lo que vamos a hacer es que vamos a profundizar un poquito más en la primera verdad del sufrimiento o dukkha.
So here, part of the problem is just the word itself, the word suffering, and using that word suffering as a translation for that term dukkha.
Aquí un poquito aparte del problema es usar la palabra, es la palabra sufrimiento, y utilizar la palabra sufrimiento como la traducción de dukkha.
Because here again, of course, this is the part of the Buddha's diagnosis for us. What is our basic human condition?
Y aquí de nuevo es el, estamos hablando del diagnóstico que tiene el Buda para nosotros. ¿Cuál es nuestra condición actual como humanos?
And the Buddha said that the basic human condition is one of dukkha, which most often, most commonly is translated as suffering.
Y el Buda dijo que la condición básica humana es dukkha y usualmente se traduce como sufrimiento.
But remember here in the First Noble Truth that this word suffering is not the meaning that we normally associate with the word suffering in terms of simply unpleasant, painful, physical, mental experiences.
Pero recuerden que aquí la palabra sufrimiento no se refiere no significa sufrimiento como usualmente lo entendemos nosotros, que es como una experiencia desagradable física o mental.
Here this word dukkha has a much broader meaning, and we're going to look at what that meaning incorporates.
La palabra dukkha aquí tiene un espectro de significado mucho más amplio y vamos a hablar qué es exactamente este espectro que contempla la palabra dukkha.
But before I do that, I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about this idea that Mingyur Rinpoche brought up in this video about the two types of suffering.
Pero antes de entrar en esto, quisiera hablar un poco más de lo que Mingyur Rinpoche expuso en el video, que es acerca de los dos tipos de sufrimiento.
And he talked about these two types of suffering, of natural suffering and self-induced suffering.
Y habló del sufrimiento natural y del sufrimiento autoinfligido.
And he used examples of natural suffering as the suffering from, you know, aging, sickness and death.
Y habló del sufrimiento natural. Por ejemplo, el sufrimiento natural implica el envejecimiento, la enfermedad y la muerte.
And the example for the self-induced suffering was fear of those things, fear of aging, sickness and death.
Y el sufrimiento autoinfligido implica el miedo a estas tres cosas, el miedo a la enfermedad, a la vejez y a la muerte.
Particularly this, I think, is something that, particularly in our modern society, a lot of our suffering is coming from this.
Yo pienso que particularmente en nuestra sociedad moderna, una gran cantidad de nuestro sufrimiento es autoinfligido.
Whereas now, it may be difficult for us to overcome this suffering, we can certainly begin to do things that can overcome this suffering immediately.
Por supuesto, es difícil lidiar o tratar como de sobrepasar el sufrimiento natural, pero podemos hacer, hay una gran cantidad o variedad de recursos de los que podemos echar mano para sobrepasar el sufrimiento autoinfligido.
And this is due to aversion, not wanting it.
Y esto generalmente es debido a la aversión o al no quererlo.
And this is something we're going to begin to look at this afternoon and continue to look at in the coming weeks.
Y esto es algo que vamos a ver esta tarde y lo vamos a continuar viendo en las próximas semanas.
That it's often, in fact, our aversion, our not wanting these unpleasant experiences, that actually contributes to most of our suffering.
Que de hecho es esta aversión o este no querer estas experiencias poco placenteras lo que nos generan gran cantidad de nuestro sufrimiento.
And so Mingyur Rinpoche here was talking about that to overcome this self-induced suffering, then we, as the Buddha said, with the first noble truth, that is something to be known.
Y entonces, lo que se dice es que para sobrepasar este sufrimiento autoinfligido, lo primero que tenemos que hacer es reconocer.
In particular here, he talked about this idea of acceptance.
En particularmente aquí, lo que él habló fue esta idea de la aceptación.
So, acceptance here, of course, doesn't mean resignation, to resign ourselves to unpleasant experiences. This is actually aversion.
Y por supuesto que esto no significa que debemos de resignarnos a tener estas experiencias de sufrimiento.
So acceptance here simply means that to accept the fact that in the present moment I'm having this unpleasant experience. I can either accept that fact or I can try to deny it or try and push it away.
Resignación en este caso significa reconocer y aceptar que en este momento estoy teniendo un momento difícil o una sensación difícil o de sufrimiento, pero no significa sin necesidad de empujarla o de rechazarla con aversión.
So if we can simply begin to do this now, to simply acknowledge that, yes, in the moment I'm having some unpleasant experience, and not then go into the mode of having aversion to that, we would reduce our suffering enormously.
Y entonces, si simplemente podemos reconocer si en este momento estoy teniendo una experiencia poco placentera, pero sin reaccionar con aversión, simplemente con hacer esto, nuestro sufrimiento va a disminuir en una gran cantidad.
And then, of course, with acceptance, that doesn't mean resignation. It doesn't mean don't try to overcome this unpleasant experience.
Y, por supuesto, esto significa tener aceptación y no significa resignarse a que no vamos a poder hacer nada al respecto.
And so here we can just follow some very simple advice from a great Indian master, Shantideva, from the 8th century.
Aquí podemos seguir el consejo de un gran maestro indio, Shantideva, del siglo VIII.
And he says, if a situation can be remedied, why get upset?
Y él dice, si la situación puede ser arreglada, ¿por qué enojarse?
Meaning, if you're facing with a difficult situation, why have aversion? Just fix it.
Y esto significa, si estamos teniendo una situación difícil y puedes hacer algo, pues ¿para qué enojarse o para qué sentirse molestos?
So if a situation could be remedied, why get upset? Just fix it.
Simplemente arréglala. Si la puedes arreglar, simplemente haz algo al respecto.
And if a situation cannot be remedied, what's the point in getting upset or the use in getting upset? It doesn't help.
Y si no puedes remediarlo, ¿cuál es el punto de sentirse molesto? No hay razón.
So this is what acceptance means, is to acknowledge that yes, there is a difficult situation. Can I remedy this? If so, fix it. If not, okay, nothing to do.
Y esto es lo que significa tener aceptación. Es reconocer, estoy pasando por una situación difícil o tengo una situación difícil, lo puedo aceptar. Digo, ¿lo puedo arreglar? Sí, entonces arréglalo. Y si no puedes arreglarlo, entonces ¿por qué sentirse enojados o molestos?
And if we can follow that sort of advice, we would avoid a lot of unnecessary self-induced suffering.
Y si podemos seguir este consejo, vamos a poder evitar una gran cantidad de este sufrimiento autoinfligido.
Through our aversion, fear, anxiety, worry, and so forth.
En vez de reaccionar con nuestra aversión, miedo, odio, etc.
And again, we're going to be looking at this in more detail this afternoon and in the coming weeks.
Y de nuevo vamos a ver esto con más profundidad esta tarde y en las próximas semanas.
So let's return now here to try to understand this word dukkha in more detail. But actually, before I do that, is there any questions about this?
Antes de entrar más de lleno a la primera verdad del sufrimiento, a la palabra dukkha, ¿hay alguna pregunta acerca de estos dos tipos de sufrimiento de los que hablamos?
atención a Glenn que como parte del sufrimiento natural está la vejez, la enfermedad y la muerte. También está incluido el nacimiento.
You mentioned that in this natural type of suffering, we're talking about old age, sickness and death. Does that include birth as well?
Yes.
Sí.
Yes. Okay. So here, to try to understand the word dukkha, Nyingma Rinpoche introduced the idea of three types or three levels of dukkha.
Entonces aquí con la palabra dukkha, Mingyo Rinpoche dice que hay tres niveles de dukkha.
The first level of dukkha is the dukkha of suffering, which is, as you would expect, our unpleasant, painful experiences.
El primer nivel de sufrimiento, como pueden el primer nivel de dukkha, es el sufrimiento, que como podemos esperar son experiencias poco placenteras, físicas o mentales.
So of course this one is fairly obvious to us, and it's something that we really find unsatisfactory. So this is fairly clear to us.
Esto es relativamente obvio para todos nosotros, son circunstancias que de manera natural encontramos desagradables, entonces es bastante claro.
Then we have the dukkha of change, which is referring to our pleasant experiences.
En segundo lugar, tenemos el dukkha del cambio, que se refiere a nuestras experiencias placenteras.
So why did the Buddha call our pleasant experiences the dukkha of change?
¿Y por qué el Buda se refirió a nuestras experiencias placenteras como el dukkha del cambio?
As the name suggests, they change, they come to an end. Meaning all of our pleasant experiences we've ever had, are having, will have, will come to an end. They're transient or temporary.
Y es porque todas nuestras experiencias placenteras que estemos teniendo, que hayamos tenido y que vayamos a tener, de manera natural van a cambiar, son transitorias.
Also, our pleasant experiences, of course, are stimulus-based experiences.
Y por supuesto, nuestras experiencias placenteras están basadas en estímulos.
Which means they're unreliable, because we can't just click our fingers and have a pleasant experience whenever we want one.
Y por supuesto, son poco confiables. No podemos simplemente hacer así nuestros dedos y esperar que vengan de forma natural.
Which means if we don't have that stimulus, we have no pleasant experience.
Y esto significa que si no tenemos el estímulo, no tenemos experiencias.
So they're sort of unreliable or unpredictable in that way.
Son muy poco predecibles, son muy poco confiables en esta forma.
But also, our pleasant experiences are not in the nature of happiness.
Pero también nuestras experiencias placenteras no son de la naturaleza de la felicidad.
Because if they were in the nature of happiness, it would mean the more that we engaged in them, the more happy we should become.
Porque si tuvieran la naturaleza de la felicidad, eso implicaría que entre más nos relacionamos con ellas, o entre más tenemos de estas, nuestra felicidad subiría de forma exponencial, digamos.
And we know from our own experiences it's true that they're not in that way.
Y sabemos que no funcionan de esta forma.
And the example that you often find in the text to explain this is the example of, imagine that you are in a room that is cold, and then you look outside and it's nice and sunny and warm outside, and you go, wow, that's so nice out there.
Y la analogía tradicional que se usa es, imagínense que están en un cuarto que está muy frío, y se asoman a la ventana y ven que afuera hay sol, y dicen, ay, qué rico, está soleado afuera.
And so we go out into the sun and we go, oh, that's so nice, so pleasant.
Y entonces vamos al sol y decimos, ay, qué rico, qué placentero.
But if that pleasant experience was in the nature of happiness, it would mean the longer we sat in the sun, the more happy we should become.
Pero si esa experiencia tuviera la naturaleza de la felicidad, eso implicaría que entre más estuviéramos en el sol, más felices nos, o más placentera se volvería la experiencia.
But we know from our own experience that if we sit too long in the sun, we often get too hot, dehydrated, get sunburned.
Pero sabemos por nuestra propia experiencia que si nos quedamos en el sol por largo tiempo, nos vamos a deshidratar, nos vamos a quemar y vamos a tener muchísimo calor.
So then if we get too hot outside, we look inside and go, oh wow, so nice and cool inside.
Y entonces, después de esta experiencia, si vemos hacia adentro, hacia el cuarto donde estábamos, y decimos otra vez, ay, qué rico, frío, está fresquito allá adentro.
So what we can understand from this example is that our pleasant experiences are relative experiences.
Así que lo que podemos sacar de este ejemplo es que nuestras experiencias placenteras son relativas.
Meaning relative to a previous situation, they're an improvement.
Esto significa que son relativamente placenteras dependiendo de la situación anterior en la que nos encontrábamos.
But if we overindulge in them, they themselves can turn into suffering.
Pero si actuamos indulgentemente en esta situación, estas mismas situaciones se pueden volver sufrimiento.
Particularly if we have craving and attachment for pleasant experiences, we can have a lot of this self-induced suffering.
Particularmente si reaccionamos a estas experiencias placenteras con aferramiento y apego, vamos a tener una gran cantidad de sufrimiento infligido.
So there are many traditions that understand this desire for pleasant experiences is a problem.
Y hay muchas tradiciones que reconocen que este tipo de situaciones placenteras son el problema. El deseo a detener estas situaciones placenteras.
So this is not something sort of unique to Buddhism.
Así que no, esto no es tan único al budismo.
But then we have a third level of dukkha underneath these pleasant and unpleasant experiences.
Y por debajo de estas dos tipos de experiencias placenteras y poco y no placenteras, tenemos un tercer nivel de dukkha.
And Nyingma Rinpoche used this word all pervasive, meaning everywhere.
Y Nyingma Rinpoche usa este término todo permeante.
So what this means is that underlying both our pleasant and unpleasant experiences is that our human condition is such that there's always a potential for some sort of suffering to arise.
Y es lo que significa con este todo permeante que significa en todos lados, es que subyaciendo todas nuestras experiencias placenteras o poco placenteras o no placenteras, nuestra condición humana tiene el potencial de que para que en cualquier momento el sufrimiento surja.
There's nowhere where we can go or be to be free of this potential of suffering.
No hay ningún lugar en donde podemos estar o a donde podamos ir que esté libre de este potencial de generar sufrimiento.
So at the deepest level, this is why our human condition is unsatisfactory.
Así que en el nivel más profundo esta es la razón por la que nuestra condición humana es insatisfactoria.
Is there any questions about these three levels of dukkha?
¿Alguna pregunta acerca de estos tres niveles de dukkha? Ya, over there.
¿Cuál es la naturaleza de felicidad?
¿Cómo?
¿Cómo podríamos definir felicidad y cuál sería la naturaleza de la felicidad?
So what is the nature of happiness and what is how you can define happiness then?
Right. So remember earlier today we talked about the two types of happiness, the temporal happiness and the genuine happiness.
Hoy en la mañana, más temprano, hablamos de los dos tipos de felicidad, de la felicidad temporal y de la felicidad genuina.
The temporal happiness, of course, is the happiness we get from pleasant experiences.
La felicidad temporal es, por supuesto, la que viene de las experiencias placenteras.
And as we've just seen, these are not very stable, they're unreliable, and they're not really in the nature of happiness.
Y como podemos ver, no son estables, son poco confiables, y no están realmente con la naturaleza de la felicidad.
Whereas the genuine happiness does not require any stimulus to be present. It's a state of inner well-being.
Y la verdadera felicidad es un estado interno de bienestar y no depende de estímulos alrededor.
It's a state of being in harmony with the nature of reality.
Es un estado en el que estás en armonía con la naturaleza de la realidad.
And what we will see from here is the reason we are stuck in this all-pervasive state of dukkha is that we are out of sync with reality.
Y la razón, como vamos a ver ahorita, de por qué estamos, digamos, atorados en este estado de sufrimiento todo permeante es porque estamos fuera de sincronía con la naturaleza de la realidad.
And we're going to be looking at this in some more detail coming today and in the coming weeks.
Y vamos a ver esto con más detalle más tarde el día de hoy en las próximas semanas.
So to strive for genuine happiness, we have to strive to overcome this false view of ourselves, how we exist in the world around us exists.
Así que para poder aspirar a esta felicidad genuina, debemos de aspirar por cambiar el modo en el que nos vemos a nosotros mismos y el modo en que existen las cosas afuera de nosotros.
Okay. Why we are in this state, of course, is pointing to the underlying cause of dukkha, the second noble truth, which we're going to begin to look at very shortly.
Así que, ¿por qué estamos en este estado todo permeante de sufrimiento? Esto se refiere al estado de la de dukkha, que vamos a ver más a profundidad con la segunda verdad noble, que vamos a ver más adelante.
But before I do that, there's one more presentation that I'd like to give that Nyingi Rinpoche was touching on a little bit in his video.
Pero quisiera hablar un poco más de algo que Nyingi Rinpoche habló brevemente en su video.
And that also points to this fact of overcoming self-induced suffering through aversion.
Y apunta el hecho de generar más sufrimiento autoinfligido al reaccionar con la aversión.
Because it's our aversion to unpleasant suffering experiences that actually produces most of our suffering.
Porque de hecho es la aversión con la que reaccionamos a experiencias poco placenteras la que produce la mayor cantidad de sufrimiento autoinfligido.
So suffering is something we don't want and we try to avoid or push away.
El sufrimiento es algo que no queremos y es algo que tratamos de empujar o de evitar.
But there are qualities to suffering.
Pero hay cualidades de sufrimiento.
And I think we all know from our own experience that the times in our life where we most develop as a person is usually when we are faced with a difficult situation, a suffering situation.
Y yo creo que sabemos por nuestra propia experiencia que las veces en nuestra vida en las que crecemos o nos desarrollamos mucho más es de hecho cuando tenemos una experiencia de sufrimiento.
If our life is going along too well, then often we don't develop as a person, we just drift along in our life.
Si nuestra vida va de forma bien o si todo está bien, muchas veces no nos desarrollamos, simplemente nos dejamos navegar en este estado como de bienestar.
So what we can understand from this is that of course we can learn from everything in our life, but the things that we often learn most from is these difficult situations.
Y por supuesto podemos saber que podemos aprender de muchas cosas en nuestra vida, pero de muchas circunstancias o condiciones en nuestra vida, pero cuando de hecho aprendemos más es cuando nos vemos forzados a tener estas situaciones difíciles.
Of course, we're not suggesting we need to go and search for suffering. I think we have enough of it already.
Por supuesto, no estoy diciendo que debemos de ir a buscar sufrimiento. Estoy seguro que todos tenemos suficiente de él.
But what we can say is, of course, if we happen to be having some suffering, we can learn from that. So there are qualities to that.
Pero por supuesto, si ya tenemos sufrimiento, hay cosas que podemos aprender de esta situación y hay cualidades. Aquí hay cinco cualidades de este sufrimiento.
And so we can talk about five qualities or five ways of learning from suffering or difficult experiences.
Y hay cinco maneras en las que podemos aprender de sufrimiento o de estas
The first is we touched on briefly earlier was that through suffering experiences, we can come to understand those suffering experiences and then really develop this wish to be free of suffering, to look within ourselves or renunciation.
Entonces la primera es cuando tenemos estas situaciones difíciles, lo que podemos hacer es verlas y valorarlas y a través de esto ver de manera interna y esto genera la renuncia.
And related to that, the second point is what's often called dispelling arrogance. Here, arrogance is this idea that everything's fine. I don't need to do anything.
Y el segundo, la segunda idea que en lo que nos ayuda el sufrimiento es que nos ayuda a dejar ir la arrogancia. Y la arrogancia viene cuando nos sentimos muy bien y decimos yo no necesito nada, todo está bien.
So again, if things are going too well in our life, we have this attitude often that everything's fine and we never develop as a person. We never really find a very meaningful life.
Y si todo está bien, tenemos esta actitud de pues todo está bien, no necesito nada y no necesito y no hay nada que nos impulse a desarrollarnos más.
Also, as we're going to see later today, by understanding these suffering experiences, that will also motivate us to do two more things.
Y como vamos a ver de nuevo más tarde, hay otras a través de estas experiencias de sufrimiento hay otras dos cosas que vienen y nos ayudan a través de esta de reconocer este sufrimiento.
The first is to avoid non-virtue, meaning to avoid harmful actions, because we understand those harmful actions lead to suffering.
La primera es que esto nos ayuda a evitar las acciones no virtuosas, porque sabemos que a través de hacer o de llevar a cabo acciones no virtuosas, estas nos llevan a más sufrimiento.
And we will also similarly understand that we will want to engage in virtuous, good actions, because we understand that this leads to happiness.
Y también esto nos va a llevar a querer llevar a cabo más acciones positivas o acciones virtuosas, porque estas nos generan más felicidad.
And then also, as Mingyur Rinpoche mentioned in the video, by us experiencing suffering, we can then relate to others in terms of they also are probably experiencing something similar, and thereby we can develop compassion for others.
Y la quinta es que, como va a decir también Mingyur Rinpoche, a través de reconocer y entender nuestro propio sufrimiento, vamos a ver el sufrimiento en otros y vamos a tener, esto nos va a ayudar a desarrollar compasión.
So these are five ways in which our suffering experiences, we can learn from them and develop as a person.
Y estas son cinco maneras en las que podemos aprender de nuestro propio sufrimiento y que nos ayudan a desarrollarnos como personas.
And so, therefore, if we are experiencing some difficult situation, rather than having aversion to it creating self-induced suffering unnecessarily.
Así que cuando tengamos una situación difícil, en vez de reaccionar a esta situación con aversión y asimismo de esta forma crear más sufrimiento autoinfligido,
then we can practice acceptance, try to overcome the suffering and learn from the suffering in these five ways, or benefit in these five ways.
En vez de eso podemos desarrollar la aceptación y desarrollarnos a través de estas cinco diferentes maneras.
Any questions about these?
¿Alguna pregunta acerca de esto? Let go of arrogance or dispelling arrogance can be translated as being humble?
It can be, but in this case it's more about developing wisdom, understanding of our actual state.
En este caso, bueno, sí, a lo mejor un poco, pero en este caso se refiere más a tener recognizing our actual
state, because arrogance in this case is about thinking everything is fine.
Oh, okay.
And because we're ignorant. Mm-hmm.
Es como más bien reconocer en el estado en el que estamos en este momento. más bien reconocer que hay un problema, digamos.
We're going to look at this afternoon a what's called one of the mental afflictions called pride.
Uh-huh.
And the opposite of that is humility.
Hoy vamos a hablar más de las del cinco venenos. Uno de ellos es arrogancia y su contraparte es la humildad. Y aquí sí estamos hablando más de la humildad.
So we'll be looking at that this afternoon.
Vamos a ver esto esta tarde.
El sentimiento de culpa tiene que ver, por ejemplo, has descubierto que tienes ciertos pensamientos que están erróneos, equivocados. Te surge, inmediatamente cuando descubres ese pensamiento, te surge también un poco un sentimiento de culpa.
Uh-huh.
¿Ese sentimiento de culpa está relacionado con la arrogancia o con qué tipo de negatividad, por decirlo así?
Sometimes when we are thinking negative thoughts, then we have guilt. Is this related with arrogance or what?
This is a very important point because it seems like guilt and low self-esteem are epidemic in our modern society.
Este es un punto muy importante porque parece ser que la baja autoestima y la culpa, la baja autoestima y la culpa es algo que está como muy imbuido en nuestra sociedad moderna.
And unfortunately, it seems guilt seems to be most strong in Catholic countries.
Y por supuesto, la culpa está peor en las sociedades católicas.
And I'm going to specifically talk about this afternoon.
Y voy a hablar de esto específicamente esta tarde.
That our problem as a Catholic country.
No. Actually, when I teach this in Dharamsala about guilt, I have an audience from all over the world, and it seems like the people who suffer most guilt are Irish Catholics and Polish Jews.
Oh, okay. Dice que de hecho en Dharamsala los que cuando habla de esto, los que las veces que tienen más culpa son las Irish Jews, Irish católicos, irlandeses,
Polish Jews.
That's what people tell me. Judíos polacos, que es lo que la gente le dice.
But I think guilt is not just in those countries. I think it's in all countries, unfortunately.
Pero yo creo que la culpa no es solo de estos países, sino de todos los países.
But there's a very simple answer to it.
Pero hay una respuesta muy simple.
Which I'm going to present this afternoon.
Vendrá esta tarde.
Last session.
En la última sesión.
So you can't go home early.
Así que no se vayan antes a casa.
Bueno, quería preguntarle a Glenn si, bueno, si es que va a abundar más o va a tocar ese tema, o si nos puede hablar. ¿Cuáles son las acciones no virtuosas y cuáles son las acciones virtuosas?
He's saying if you are going to talk about the 10 virtues actions, or the 10 virtues actions right now or later?
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about the virtue, non-virtue introduction this afternoon, and then the 10 virtues, non-virtues will come in later week.
Vamos a hablar de la virtud.
In fact, it'll come in the last weekend retreat.
Okay.
In November, beginning of November. I'll talk about them in detail there.
Okay. Vamos a hablar de la virtud o no virtud y no virtud un poco en esta tarde, pero las 10 acciones virtuosas y no virtuosas van a estar hasta el fin de semana último de noviembre.
So they will collect negative karma.
Any other questions?
Me pregunto si las 5 cualidades surgen siempre de manera progresiva, conscientemente, o si hay personas que saltan directo a la compasión por cualquier dukkha que tengan. I'm wondering if these 5 qualities do arise always consciously progressive, or are there people who just jump into compassion?
Yeah. So, of course, everyone is different. And actually, when we talk about renunciation, this is really compassion for ourselves.
Por supuesto, cada persona es diferente, pero cuando hablamos de renuncia, esto implica compasión hacia nosotros mismos.
And I think people sometimes naturally have some of these stronger than others. So I don't think there's a particular order.
No creo que haya un orden. Yo creo que diferentes personas tienen alguno más que otro.
So these are just 5 ways in which we can learn. I don't think they're presented in a particular order. Of course, I think these two go together, and these two really go together.
Así que no creo que vengan en un orden en específico, simplemente son cinco maneras en las que podemos aprender, aunque sí creo que las primeras dos van juntas, y la tercera y la cuarta también van juntas.
And these are mainly to do with ourselves, and this is with respect to others.
De la una a la cuarta tiene que ver específicamente con nosotros mismos, y la quinta se refiere a los demás.
But I don't think there's any particular order.
Pero no creo que haya un orden.
Cuando hablamos de las cinco cualidades del sufrimiento, ¿son inherentes al sufrimiento? ¿Esto quiere decir que sucedan independientemente si lo percibimos o si hay alguna cosa que hay que hacer para que estas cualidades se manifiesten?
O sea, si inherentemente aprendemos, o sea, si inherentemente surgen cuando hay sufrimiento, ¿sí? When we talk about the five qualities of suffering, those things are inherently, they come this way and we learn, or...
Not necessarily. I mean, I think some people, again, if we don't practice acceptance, if we have aversion, I think people maybe never learn this.
Uh-huh. Si no practicamos aceptación y reaccionamos con aversión, hay gente que nunca va a tener...
Because we're talking about the qualities of suffering. If we're seeing suffering as a problem, then we won't learn from it, or not easily at least.
Porque estamos hablando de las cualidades del sufrimiento, y si solamente vemos el sufrimiento como un problema, entonces pues no vamos a llegar a estas cinco.
For example, we all face difficulties in our life, but I think in the business world, the people who see difficulties as problems usually fail.
Usually?
Fail.
Ah, okay. Porque todos tenemos este sufrimiento en nuestras vidas, pero por ejemplo en el mundo corporativo, la gente que ve sufrimiento, que ve los problemas o el sufrimiento como un problema, usualmente fallan.
Whereas those who see see difficult situations as opportunities thrive.
Mientras que los que ven el sufrimiento o situaciones difíciles como oportunidades, usualmente estos son los que tienen éxito.
So it's up to us. Of course, we're all faced with difficult situations. If we see them as problems, then usually, automatically, I don't want that. Whereas if we see it as a difficult situation as opportunity, it's difficult, but then we learn from that and we develop and we improve.
Y esto también aplica para nosotros mismos. Si vemos el sufrimiento con la aversión, entonces no hay ningún aprendizaje, pero si lo vemos como una oportunidad, esto nos ayuda a desarrollarnos y a evolucionar.
So if we see a difficult situation as a problem, we have aversion, self-induced suffering.
Y entonces, si tenemos sufrimiento, reaccionamos con aversión, esto genera más sufrimiento autoinfligido.
Whereas we see a difficult situation as an opportunity, we don't develop unnecessary self-induced suffering.
Y entonces, por el otro lado, si tenemos sufrimiento, pero lo vemos como una oportunidad, no generamos aversión, simplemente con esto ya no vamos a generar más sufrimiento autoinfligido no necesario.
So that's what we mean here, is to see these difficult situations as opportunities and learn from them in these ways.
Y es por esto que tenemos estas cinco cualidades, para ayudarnos a ver el sufrimiento como una oportunidad y tratar de aprender en esta forma.
Another question? One more, and then we have to show a video before lunch.
¿Me podría explicar un poquito mejor la primera?
Can you talk a little bit further about renunciation?
We're going to look at this in more detail next week, but I can say something now.
Vamos a hablar más de esto la próxima semana, pero puedo hablar un poquito más ahorita.
So, renunciation here is not a good translation.
La renuncia aquí, de nuevo, no es una buena traducción.
The original Sanskrit word is nisarana.
La palabra original en sánscrito es nisarana.
And in Tibetan, it's nechum.
Y en tibetano es nechum.
Both of them mean to the wish to get out of.
Y los dos significan el deseo de ir al otro lado.
So nisarana or nechum really means the wish for liberation from suffering.
Y nisarana o nechum en tibetano literalmente significa el deseo de trascender el sufrimiento.
Whereas this is unfortunately being translated as renunciation.
Y esto desafortunadamente ha sido traducido como renuncia.
And again, as we saw, renunciation has the idea of giving up.
Y como ya vimos, la renuncia tiene esta idea de dejar ir o de, pues, de renunciar, literal, ¿no?
And the idea with the eight worldly concerns, and then people mistakenly think we have to give up money, pleasure, praise, and good reputation.
Y ligado a los ocho intereses mundanos, la gente se queda con la idea de que tienen que dejar ir dinero, posesiones, alabanza y buena reputación.
And of course, renunciation means to give up an unhealthy attitude towards those.
Y por supuesto, la renuncia aquí lo que significa es dejar ir una forma de relacionarse mentalmente de forma negativa con estos.
Yeah, attachment to them.
O el apego, perdón, a estos.
So that's what renunciation means, but actually there's more to it than that.
Pero, y esto es lo que la renuncia significa, pero de hecho hay mucho más que esto.
Because this means not only stop believing happiness is out there, but to look for happiness in here.
Porque esto lo que significa es simplemente dejar de pensar que la felicidad viene de afuera, sino empezar a buscar la felicidad dentro.
So this is this aspiration for liberation from suffering, understanding the source of suffering and happiness is within ourselves.
Así que es esta aspiración de buscar la felicidad dentro de nosotros mismos.
So when we see this word renunciation in Buddhism, that's the understanding we should have. It's simply the wish for liberation from suffering. Understanding the source of suffering is within ourselves.
Así que cuando vemos renuncia en el contexto del budismo, es esto, es buscar la felicidad dentro de nosotros mismos, entendiendo que estas condiciones vienen de forma interna.
And the reason I, even though it's not a very good translation, the reason I present it is because it's so widely used.
Y el hecho de que yo les ponga renuncia, aunque yo les estoy diciendo que no es una buena traducción, es simplemente porque es bastante usado de esta forma.
So therefore I try to explain that in terms of what it really means from the original terms.
Así que por esto estoy tratando de usar el término original y explicar que...
But we'll speak more about this next week.
Pero vamos a hablar más de esto la próxima semana.
Okay,
just really quick. La palabra en
tibetano.
Nechum.
Nechum. Ne means definite, chum means to emerge.
Nechum.
Nechum. Well, in the phonetics. Phonetics.
In
phonetics, nechum. Ne means definite, chum means to emerge. So often it's translated as the mind of definite emergence. The mind that definitely wants to emerge from samsara to nirvana. What I'd like to do now then is begin the second noble truth, and again to start with the video. The video here is a little bit longer, but I'd like to stop it after about 15 minutes to present the first part. And then we'll come back after lunch and talk about that. So I'll hand it over to Set again to start it up.
Vamos a ver la segunda verdad noble. Vamos a... Este video dura un poco más. Vamos a ponerlo por 15 minutos. Lo vamos a parar y después lo continuamos.
Do you have time on that?
I want to talk about the second four noble truths, which is truth of causes of suffering. And how to practice this, and this is to be abandoned, to be eliminated, you have to eliminate. Like, to get rid of the causes of sickness. For example, my father gave me one good example. It's like, if you are living in the house, and the house has some problem, especially with the roof of the house, leaking water, especially when the raining season, India has a lot of rain, monsoon. During monsoon time, a lot of water coming in the house. And then, there's water inside the house, on the floor, everywhere there's water. Then if you thought, okay, what should I do? Maybe I should bring towel and clean the water. you clean the water inside house tower with the tower and become dry, and you might think, ah, I might. But next minute, another water liquid falling into the your house, you know, drop in the ground. You might, oh, no, clean again. And next liquid fall down, clean again. Another water, clean, become unlimited. If you are smart, if the smart person, first don't change too much with the water in your room. The person look, where's this water come from? Where's leaking it? Look up, oh, saw the roof, and fix the roof. And once you fix the roof, then no more leaking, no more water liquid coming into your house. Finish. This is why, same here, in order to free from suffering, eliminate suffering, first important, you have to get rid of the causes of suffering. Otherwise, the problem coming back again and again. And this is not only with the Dharma, with the practice. Any situation in your life. First important is you recognize problem. Second, look at, search the causes of problem. And try to fix the causes of problem. So if you fix the cause of problem, then resolve the problem automatically dissolves. Eliminate. This is why you are not just seeing what you see in front of you. You're seeing a little bit more behind of that. And this way is good. Otherwise, you may, when you have one problem, you only struggle with the problem in front of you. Chasing, try to get rid of that, try to find solution. Sometimes it makes sometimes more problems. But first you relax and wait and see. Where did this problem come from? How this problem start? What is the cause of problem? Then if you try to deal with that problem, very good. Okay, what is this problem, the causes of suffering? There are two. First, what we call emotion. Second is karma, what we call karma. So from emotion created karma. And the karma created suffering. So the first important is emotion. Okay, what are the emotions here? And here we are not talking all the emotions. Mainly we are talking what we call five pleasures. And these five pleasures are very tricky. Normally what we think, these are good for you. We have these five emotions, five negative emotions, I will tell you later, five negative emotions, which is we are thinking that these are good for us, these are my protection. These, without this I cannot survive. This is how to live my life, you know, something like that. But actually, these are the causes of suffering. So if you eliminate those things, then you will begin to achieve freedom. Freedom of suffering. Okay, what are these five pleasures? The first is ignorance. The ignorance is the root of the suffering. Ignorance means you are not recognized. You are not knowing the truth. The truth or real reality. It's a learning the truth. Learning the real reality is causes of happiness, causes of freedom. Because if you don't know the nature of reality, it created a problem, yeah? Like this multicolored rope. If you're not knowing the multicolored rope, it looks like multicolored rope for you, it's like snack. Then a lot of problem, yeah? It's like, if you learn nature of reality, that is the best way to liberate from suffering. It's like, ignorance first. You don't know. You are not learning the nature of reality. Second, anger maybe. The anger is, okay, I gotta be top. I have to be strong. You know, they are not good. He is not good. She is not good. They are being bad, you know. They are humming to me. They are bad, they are not good, and I have to fight with them, challenge to them, get rid of them, got it at top. That's anger. This is why, when you have anger, you are not in peace. You are almost becoming drunk. Too much wine, whiskey, you know. Oh, you have become crazy. And some of my friends said, they said, some scientists said, if you have anger, you cannot see real situation a lot. 90% of your perception is not real. You have only 10% to see real situation. Otherwise, everything is made by anger. Anger will, perception is made, has changed by, your perception also changed by anger, your feeling also changed by anger, everything changed by anger. It's like, my teacher Sajidabhut told me that, if you wear yellow glass, and you, when you look around, everything becomes like yellow. Something like that. And this way, and what you think is, you believe in anger. You think, okay, I gotta be tough, you know, I have to do this. Otherwise, they harm to me. And they may look down to me. You know, they don't respect me. This is why, who cares, you know. And then, you think like, anger is good for you. This is like, way to achieve your goal.
It's 13
hours. And without anger, then you think like, you cannot done your job. You cannot achieve your goal. And people around you, if you don't fight with them, you think they don't listen to me. And they don't respect to me. And then sometimes, if you fight those things, you see some result. Because for short time, sometimes success, maybe. One time, two time. Then it gets worse. And eventually, it creates big problem, messy. Because people doesn't like you. They don't want to support you. They don't want to listen to you. Even they say, okay, yes, sir, but mine doesn't like you. Maybe they may do a little bit, but they're not going to do you very pure heart. And then you don't have much friends. You lose your friends. People doesn't like you. You say, they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to support you. You have no friends. And people give you more and more problems. Even small dog, puppy. And the puppy is very small, not much power. But if you treat badly to the puppy, one day even small puppy will bite you. Well, you know. And for you are not peace, you know. You are not in peace. You are always, you cannot eat, you cannot sleep, thinking too much, stress, or maybe he likes, you don't like, or that person doing bad thing, that person doing bad thing. And when you look at just other people, if you are very angry, if you have a lot of anger within you, when you look at people, you might think, I think he's not a good person. He's looking at me strangely. He's saying not nice things. Why? He's suddenly anger. Even the person is not doing anything for you. The person just sit there. When you look at the person, you might think, oh, she's looking at me very strangely, or he's looking at me strangely. Why? But the other person doesn't do anything. you just think. And then maybe you may try to reply to that. And you think that person stands for me, and then you look at that person a little strange way. And the other person might talk, oh, why? So there's something wrong with that person. And if you do that again, and the other person look at you, strange way also. Then you might think, this is second time. And so you fight again, without reason. And then your psychological, your mental feeling is you feel very unsecure, and always, you know, anger, and look like you're in hell. So you're not peace, and you're making problem for others. It's like the anger is cause of the problem, and that created a lot of fear, anxiety, depression, many, many, many other problems. Okay, I will tell you another thing with anger. But some people, they think without anger, you cannot accomplish your goal. Not true. Because you are afraid of losing anger sometimes. If I don't have anger, then I cannot achieve my goal. Then what should I do? I cannot success. No. That is the wrong message come from anger. Actually, even you don't have anger, even without anger, you can achieve your goal. You can success your goal. Much, much more than anger. There's compassion. The compassion is not like, you know, I'm practice compassion, I cannot do anything. Not like that. Even that person is wrong, fighting to me, I cannot say anything. Even I don't want to say hee hee, but I say hee. Not like that. Compassion has wisdom. Compassion has to be connected with wisdom. Because compassion is, the goal of compassion is benefit. Benefit for others, benefit for you. There's a, how to achieve that, doesn't matter. If something benefit for others, you can even challenge if something, some person doing wrong, but not from anger, with compassion. You don't have to use bad words. You're stupid, you're like dog, you're nothing, you know. You have to say reason. And first forgive all the, of course, first forgive. Then you should reason whatever. And that also, good for others, good for you. The other people listen more you. So there's the compassion, there's the wisdom, there's the clarity, confidence, joy, equanimity, many, many, many things. And these things really help you to success you and for others. Win-win situation. Win for you, good for you, and win for others. You have more friends, everybody like you, they want to listen to you, they want to support you, you are happy, they are happy. Success. But anger said, no. Then you will lose everything. No. Don't listen to anger, okay? Now, second is desire. Desire or I.
Okay, so that was the first two of the five mental afflictions that Mingyur Rinpoche is going to be talking about.
Estas son de las dos de las cinco aflicciones mentales de las que Mingyur Rinpoche va a hablar.
So after lunch, when we come back at 2:30, we'll talk about this ignorance and anger, and then we'll show the video for the rest of that.
Así que después del lunch vamos a hablar un poco más de estas dos primeras, de la ignorancia y el enojo o la ira, y después vamos a continuar con el video.
So let's take lunch break and we'll
start
at 2:30.
Dos y media regresamos.